Boo. 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 Strangers. I was revving it up. I'm Britt.
And I'm D.
And a your face. What? I was just like, and welcome. I should have said I am the slightly zooted, but I'm not zooted. I feel fine. I am Britt. We said that. The podcast. Where are we? Welcome to another.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I don't even know. We did just start. So the way that it works.
The way what?
Me, you, me, and welcome to another bonus episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories. I stopped because it felt like I said conspiracy.
You saw my network struggling.
Oh, yes, and that too. I don't know if I said conspiracy or conspiracy. That's why I stopped. But a conspiracy.
Sound the same to me.
All sound the same. Conspiracy theories. And all the things that keep the world strange. However, for today's bonus episode, we are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. And it just so happens to be spooky season. Because this is our first movie review of the spooky season.
Oh, yeah, it is. I think I picked a good one.
You picked this.
Yeah.
This is a collaborative effort. It's a
don't try to take credit for
it. I'm not trying to take. Ooh.
You keep forgetting that you told me I could pick the movies for the rest of the year.
I did not forget that. But I was like, oh, yeah.
So then why would you sit up here and say out your mouth?
I planted.
That you.
Because I remember saying out my mouth that I was like, I'm going to plant the bug in her ear. And I was like, you know what else is a good
and
one?
You didn't.
You know what else is a good one? The Trilogy of Terror. Okay, so Trilogy of Terror.
In today's episode, we review Dan Curtis's Trilogy of Terror. Three interwoven horror stories. The first story is about a college student who is infatuated with his teacher. The second story is a paranoid tale of twin sisters, one good, the other evil. The third story is about a Zuni fetish doll that comes to life and terrorizes a woman in her own apartment. This was released in 1975 and it was a straight to TV movie.
Who did
or made for TV movie.
You know, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking somebody here needs to show it. Or there when I get there. Somebody, I would love to go sit in the theater and watch this and eat some popcorn. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, in all three stories, it stars the same woman.
Yes.
Oh, and what I was going to say earlier, I might as well say it now. Because Dan Curtis is the... Wait. Oh, he's the producer. But, no, he was the director.
Mm-hmm.
One of the producers is Robert Singer, who is... was a producer on Supernatural. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
No, I had to tie that in there because that's my show.
That's a fun fact though. That is indeed a fun fact.
There you go.
Yeah, Trilogy of Terror. I don't remember. Do you remember the first time you watched this?
Let me think. Because I saw somebody talking about it on Instagram. So it had to have been when we were living at the intro. I saw it.
Why do I feel like, because did I say I had never seen it when we watched it? Or?
I think so, yeah.
Because I thought I had. I was almost positive, not unless this is a false memory, that I had seen it before. Because I remember that thing that my mom watched it and I watched it with her.
No, I was going to say it was probably because when we tried to watch it the first time, you fell asleep.
Oh, probably.
And then we had to watch it again. Yeah. Yeah. And then we watched it when we did the virtual movie night.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm going to have to, when I talk to her again, I'm going to have to ask her. Because I was almost positive because I remember being like, this seems familiar to me. Like, I remember being like, y'all, I think I've seen this. And by the time I got to the last story, I was like, okay, yeah, I feel like I've seen this. Like, I watched this with my mom. So I'm going to have to ask her.
Yeah, you probably have.
Maybe. Because I just remember being so intrigued by the last story. By the last one. I was like, what is going on?
I think that's everybody. I think they only remember the last one.
Even in the... So we watched this on YouTube. Well, I watched it on YouTube.
I did too.
Oh, okay. And shout out to... What is the name? Creepshow?
Of the YouTube channel?
Yeah. Because shout out to them. I have no clue. Let me... I have it in my history. Creature Features. I don't know why I was thinking Creepshow. Shout out to Creature Features for having that on there.
Yeah.
I didn't even mind their little skits. I didn't fast forward it. I was like, what is this? What are they doing? And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Wait, I watched a whole nother, because the one I watched, they didn't have no skits.
Really? They kept, like, they were hosting it. It was like they were hosting it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, see, the channel I watched it on was Black Flame 92.
Oh, you don't have any interruptions?
Because I think I went to that one first and I was like, what is this? I didn't think it was the actual movie, so I tried to find something else.
And I fast forwarded it because I was like, wait, what is this? Then I went forward and I was like, oh, wait, the movie is in here. So I'm going to watch it. It was cool. It was cool. But I said that just because they mentioned basically we were all here for this final story. And I was like, okay, the other ones are good. That last one, though, it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intense.
Intense. Okay, yeah. So getting into Trilogy of Terror. The first story is titled Julie. And every time I hear the name Julie, it makes me think of Julia, which makes me think of Julia Gulia, which makes me think, I'm going to be Mrs. Julia Gulia from The Wedding Singer. That's one of my favorite movies, but non-horror movies. But okay, Julie, we see a Chad. So, you know, he's probably going to be a douchebag because his name is Chad. No offense to anybody. His name is Chad in the 70s. So played by Robert Burton and Eddie Nails, played by James Storm. They are college students at a local Los Angeles community college. They are in the middle of checking out chicks. They're testing the waters. They're not quite going fishing yet, but they just want to, you know, sniff around. Checking chicks out when Julie Eldridge, played by the lovely Karen Black. She plays a young literature teacher. You could tell she's like a square. Like she's has like oversized clothes. You can't tell. She's like a homebody, homely. She has oversized clothes. She got on her little kitten heels, hair pulled back, glasses. All of a sudden, Chad is like, I don't know why, but I'm trying to see what's underneath there. Like, I'm interested. He's interested. And Eddie is like, oh my God. So
he was.
He's like, ew, she's ugly.
Disgusted.
I was like, dang, she ain't even ugly though. She literally just needs regular size clothes. Why people with glasses back then? Like, why before, what, like 2010, I would say. It lasted for a while. The glasses hate. I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
She's not ugly, but yes, he was appalled. So they're in class and you see Chad while Julia is teaching, he's checking her out. He's dreaming about that thigh meat. He's like, can I get to the yams? Sweet. So they basically show you like his fantasy. He's fantasizing about her. And then he finally, after that, reveals to Eddie, I want her. I see her. I like her. I want her. And again, he's like, oh my gosh, she's UGLY. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly. And he is like, also, dude, she's a teacher. It's probably not the best idea for you to be involved with a teacher. Later, Julie, they show her getting ready for bed, and you see, dun, 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 Chad. Chad is watching her through a window. He is creeping hard.
He was. I was like, ugh. Like, why?
Why?
So the next day, Chad asked Julie out on a date, which why she said yes, I don't know, but she did. Well, I mean, we know, but you know.
Why she said yes?
Huh?
Do we know why she said yes?
I mean, we know now.
Girl, like I haven't watched it. I'm sitting here thinking from the point of view. Oh. I was like, D, why? Why she said yes? She was like, I'm going to give me this little young buck. Never mind. Wrong move.
I'm trying to see what that be like. Anyway, so they go to the drive-in theater. And Chad went to go get drinks, but he ended up spiking hers. And then she's unconscious. And then he drives her to a motel. So he was checking them in as husband and wife.
For shame.
I know. That is disgusting.
She was like, my drink is bitter. He was like, mine too.
No, he was like, mine.
Weird. Mine too. Just go ahead and drink it. No, send it back. I don't want this.
I know. And so at the motel, he takes pictures of Julie in different positions. She woke up, but then they were back in the car. And, you know, she's apologizing for falling asleep. To me, that would be a little weird. I would have been like, how did I even fall asleep? Because I can't. Everybody's not Keisha.
Oh, for you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, for me.
I mean, she said she was a little tired, didn't she? Or
she did, but. And then I would have been like, okay, looking at the time and like, I've been asleep for how long?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, but how much time has passed to where he took her to that hotel, checked them in, had to bring her into the hotel without being seen, take those pictures, put her back in the car? Like, how long was I out for?
And when I wake up, you just sitting there looking at me like that was. Because what were you doing the whole time I was asleep?
And were they still at the drive-in, or had he brought her home by the time she woke up?
It looked like...
Because I don't remember.
It didn't
now.
Look like they were at the drive-thru.
Okay, so that's the drive-in.
Yeah,
that's
drive-in movie. Drive-thru.
I'm hungry like a mug.
Me too. I am.
Drive-thru. Yeah, okay, I thought about that too, because I was okay. And I will fall asleep in a minute, too. I'm not as bad as Keisha, I'm not, you know, but I will fall asleep. And I'm thinking, though, as soon as I feel the car moving, though, I usually wake up and I'm like, oh, dang, I slept through that entire movie. I would have been questioning that, too.
Yeah.
How much time has passed and how I didn't wake up from your loud engine?
Yep. So... they're at her house and she didn't want to let him in, like he was trying to go in. That's when she tells him that she doesn't want to go on another date with him and is trying to end it. And he was like, what did he say? It was something. He was like, we'll just see about that or something like that.
It was something along the lines for me with the severity of, I heard you've been looking for Candyman, bitch. It felt... like, all right, I'll show you better than I can tell. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it was a little threatening. And
it
I was,
it
like,
was threatening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he goes back to develop the pictures. And then he called her and he was like, I'm coming over or something like that. And she was like, no. And he was like, well, I'm coming over there anyway. And so they're sitting in the car and he shows her the pictures and she's like, okay, I'm gonna call the police. And he's like, well, you can't prove that I took the pictures or whatever. You have no proof that, oh, cause she was like, you drugged me. And he was like, well, you don't have any proof. So, I mean, the pictures would be proof cause she was knocked out.
How
in my opinion.
How would she get him?
But how would she know that it was him? Yeah.
Oh, that too.
How would they know that it was him?
That too. But then, and then you think he was going to let her just walk away with those pictures?
He did. But he was like, I have the negatives.
Oh. He let her walk away with them pictures?
Yeah, he was like, you can, because he said something like, if you throw them away, I have.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. He then blackmails her. He wants good grades and he wants to, you know, with Julie. And if she refuses.
No, we
don't
know.
I don't remember him coming out right and saying
he wants to what with Julie?
But he just implied it.
You said he wants to, you know, with Julie.
I mean, you know.
We don't know. What?
You know.
He's trying to touch butts. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to touch butts. With Julie.
Okay. So he tells her if she refuses, then he will spread the pictures throughout the campus and she'll basically lose her job.
She'll
be about
ruined.
To lose your job. So she agrees. And so now she's teaching the class and he wrote a note. He was bold. He wrote a note and walked up to her desk.
He put it
put
in
the
a book?
Note inside of, yeah, he put it in a book, but then she read it right then and there.
So she bold for reading the note.
I mean,
then like, what they doing? They passing love notes? It's inappropriate.
So, oh, it told her to go to his apartment to meet some of his friends.
Meet her friends with me his friends, was that code for something, or he actually wanted her to meet his friend?
I don't know, because I don't think they ever really followed up with that.
They didn't, because I was like, was he pimping her? I'm confused.
Yeah, because it just cut to her going back home. So
okay.
Yeah,
I'll keep that in mind when I do my writing.
Hey, this was the 70s and it was a made for TV movie. That's, yeah. And that's what I always say about It, like the original It. It's only so much you can do on TV. So maybe
that's true.
You know, they can imply certain stuff, but they can't show it.
And to me, they did a lot with both of these, in my opinion, for what they had.
Yeah. But I mean, comparing it to the book. They couldn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank gosh.
I know.
I couldn't even.
I know.
I had to say, gosh, gosh darn. I didn't even say, thank God, thank gosh, googly moogly, that they didn't. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, yeah. So I keep that in mind that when I'm like reviewing, like made for TV.
Oh,
movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Back then, because now they just don't care.
At all. Okay. This goes on for several weeks. Chad forcing Julie into this relationship, sexual relationship, whatever. Chad forces Julie to come over to his apartment for dinner. And to me, it was implied that they had sex based on the way that they were dressed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's implied that they have had sex. They're chilling in their robes and Julie finally just announces like the game is over. She said like that. The game is over. Buster. She doesn't want to do it anymore. She reveals that it was actually she who hath manipulated Chad. So she's like letting him know that this was all a part of her elaborate plan and he's just playing a role. She asks him, do you really think that dull little mind of yours could possibly have conceived any of the rather dramatic experiences we've shared? I could have poured my heart into it if I didn't hear you laughing. She says,
you got
him,
some more.
Yeah, she says, what's his name, Chad? Do you think you suddenly had the overwhelming desire to see what I looked like under all those clothes? Why do you think you had, was what I meant. Why do you think you had the desire? And she's like, look, don't feel bad. I get what, you know, she gets bored after a little while. She goes on to tell him that despite the fact that she was kind of, you know, he kind of took her for a loop when he drugged her and then blackmailed her. So she wasn't expecting that. And she said she was actually amused by the elegance of it all, of this latest challenge of hers. RuPaul's Drag Race, if you know, elegance. She was basically just the latest challenge. She goes on to tell him that she'd actually planned to kill him on the night of the first date, but she admits again that she underestimated him and was like, you know what? You got to see it through, my boy. You caught me slipping. You know I'm finna see this through. See what happens. So she decides she's gonna play the game until the right time, and the right time is now. Chad is like, oh my God, you've drugged me. And she said, no, actually, you've been poisoned. I'm about to kill you. Your ass about to die. That's what she said. He very dramatically falls to the floor. What did he say when he went down? I was cracking up. I was like,
I think he just like screamed or something.
It was rather dramatic.
I think it was just.
And then after he dies, she drags his body into the dark room. She sets all the chemicals and the photos that he took of her on fire and uses that as a cover up for his death. So it just looks like that he died in a house fire.
In the final scene, Julie adds the newspaper clipping of the story about Chad's death to a scrapbook of articles, basically with students who died the same way. And it is strongly implied that Julie is a serial killer and she is targeting these young students to be her victims.
Strongly implied. Emphasis on the strong. Yeah.
So then she gets a knock at her door and it is another student. He showed up because I don't know if she like placed a flyer or something, but he needed a tutor. And she invites him in and then she's like, oh, I think we're going to be good friends.
Dum, dum, dum.
Poor Arthur.
Poor Arthur. We don't give a shit about Chad because fuck him.
I was going to say, yeah. Because Arthur really did seem innocent.
He did. Did you have any final thoughts on Julia? We could do it per story.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Julie, so, not Julia.
Julie. In the beginning, I thought that she was targeting students like Chad who were like perverts. And I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. But then when Arthur showed up, I was like, well, he's just innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know that that's just what she was doing. She was just a serial killer.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, D. And I was like, I wish it would have just stayed like that. Like that she was kind of like, I don't know, because it had been like a female Dexter. It was like female empowerment type thing. But then I think, would I feel the same way if she was a man? I don't know. Like, would I be like, oh, I wish he was only killing ladies who were terrible? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is it because? But I don't know. I think it's a good, for the 70s, I feel like that would have been kind of like, oh, that's kind of rad. Like, I guess it is still pretty cool. It's messed up.
Yeah.
But cool. But it was a cool premise for 1975, because I don't think they expected it, especially like she said, he drugged her, so everybody's thinking, okay, he's the threat. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out she was a predator.
Yeah, because I can honestly say I did not see that coming.
Mm-mm.
Whereas with the second story, I knew from the beginning.
From the beginning, they could have executed it a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the second story in this trilogy of terror, Millicent and Therese. This is the tale of a sibling rivalry. It focuses on two sisters, twin sisters, Millicent Larimore. She's depicted as sort of this, well, kind of like Julie, so kind of just, but worse. She was worse though.
Yeah.
Her lips was pale. She looked like a ghost. I was like, is she okay? Like, get her some sunlight. She's shut in, kind of prudish, repressed. She has dark hair. She's a brunette. And then there's her twin sister, Therese Larimore, and she's the more worldly, temptress, seductive, free-spirited. She has blonde hair. And both of those roles are played by Karen Black.
So we have Thomas Amon, played by John Carlin, and he wants to speak with Therese. But Millicent, she hated her. I was like, dang, she had to do all that. But she basically is telling him that, that Therese is out partying. So Thomas, he was like, well, that's weird because y'all were just at y'all's dad's funeral because their dad just passed away. So He just thought it was weird that she would be out partying and she was all distraught at the funeral.
That is weird.
Yeah. And then Millicent, I think they were calling her Millie. She goes on this tirade. Because I was like, dang, why Therese got to be all that? She tells him that Therese was having an incestuous relationship with their father that started around when they were about 16. And she accuses Therese of lacing their mother's drink with sleeping pills, resulting in her death.
Girl, the accusations...
Yeah, Thomas was like, shouldn't you be telling this to the police? He was like, why are you telling me this? She's like, well, if I go to the police, then basically she's going to be stuck out. She's not going to have nowhere to go. And she can't support herself because she doesn't have a job. Thomas is like, she's crazy. Like, he's thinking to himself, like,
I thought he told her he didn't tell her she was.
He did.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like, maybe you're the crazy one.
Oh, he did say that. He did.
Something like that. Like, girl, you sure it ain't you?
I mean, I would have said the same thing because she was doing too much. I guess she was like, Millicent was like, well, Therese told me that y'all was doing something y'all wasn't supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. They was bumping uglies. That's what I heard.
So later, Millicent, she has this little diary, and she wrote in her diary that Therese, in retaliation for telling him, trashed her room. Understandable.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, have a sister.
Why are you out here telling my business?
Does that deserve for her room to be trashed?
I mean, she could have beat her up.
She could have.
I would rather have my room.
In theory, could she? Maybe she could. She could have beat her up.
Yeah.
It's right in my diary. Therese beat my ass today. Damn.
You know what? So what about, I was like, I love this saying because people just start saying this out of nowhere. Like when somebody get beat up, they say they turned them every which way but loose.
Turn them every which way but loose.
I was like, why are people saying that now?
Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Ooh, yep. Okay. That's funny. Okay, so in another scene, Dr. Ramsey, played by George Gaines, meets with Millicent for their weekly therapy session, and he just wants to see how she's doing, I guess, with the death of her father, and then how things are going with her sister, Therese. He, instead, is greeted by Therese, who tells him that Millicent had to step out. So they're in the house, they're talking. Therese does admit to having messed up Millie's room. In the midst of them talking, she tries to seduce him, trying to put that thing on him, but he is not interested and he leaves. In another scene, wait, okay, I couldn't remember. I mean, to go back and watch this, was it her toy or a project? What did she mess up?
The little girl?
Yes.
Talking about what happened with the little girl? It was her her toy.
So Millicent is coming home and she sees a little girl crying on the stoop. She's in there crying. And she's like, man, I hate your sister. She was like, I hate your sister. She's so mean. She broke my toy. And she was like, wait. Millicent was like, why would she do that? She was like, I don't know. but you need to, somebody needs to do something about it. I'm sorry. I was cracking up. She was like sobbing. I was cracking up because I was like, why she had to break that little girl's toy like that? She didn't have to do that. She just did it because she's,
oh man, she's a bully. She was distraught.
That little girl was distraught. That's traumatic though. Man. Imagine being a kid and your neighbor walks up to you and just like breaks your toy for no reason.
Man.
I'd be like, oh my god.
Well, kids today probably try to fight you.
Probably. That was funny though.
But yeah, that was
I was like, oh no, Therese is out of control. Okay, so it's then and there where Millicent is determined that Therese is pure evil, and she tells Dr. Ramsey, I don't need you anymore. I don't need your advice anymore. She knows what she's going to do. And she starts plotting to kill her twin sister with a voodoo. So she gathers all these supplies, all these like hair and personal items and stuff. And she plants a voodoo talisman in Therese's room to kill her.
Yeah, because she was like, I'm going to basically beat her at her own game because she was accusing her of being like a witch and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The next morning, Dr. Ramsey, he comes to the house, and after not finding anybody, he goes into Therese's room and he finds her dead on the floor with the doll next to her. But Millicent is nowhere to be found. Dr. Ramsey calls the police and the coroner, and they take away Therese's body. But he was like, before you do, he was like, I know her. It was so dramatic.
It was.
The way he did it.
He snatched her wig off.
He tells the police that he's the family doctor and that Therese is actually Therese Millicent Larimer. So
dun, dun, dun.
The same person, and that she suffered from dual personality disorder because it wasn't multiple personality. You still going?
Yes. I was letting you get through the whole gag. Through the whole goop.
Oh man. And this was brought on by the fact that Therese did sleep with her dad and kill her mom. she spent time in a psychiatric facility. And Millicent was an alternate personality with a repressed sexuality to cope with the horror of her actions. The death of her father basically made it worse. The murder of Therese was actually a form of suicide by Therese Millicent Larimore.
Bum, bum, bum. Are we to believe that she died from the voodoo? Because when she was gathering supplies, she had got hair from a brush, but that hair was wig hair. This is not her wig. It's not her hair. So, are we to believe that? How did it work?
That's a good question. Because I do remember thinking, like, that was a wig. But could it be one of those things where she believed it to the point where she actually did die? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I don't know the term for it.
Yeah, I guess. But then if she believed that it was two different people, why couldn't... Never mind. If she believed she really was a twin sister and she wanted to kill the other twin sister, why didn't only one half... You know what I mean? Like, why wasn't it just that the Therese half died?
Kind of like identity?
Yeah. Why she had to die?
That, and you know what? I thought that's where that was going because... From the beginning, like I said, I already knew that she was the same person.
Yeah.
So that's where I thought it was going, but I wasn't expecting her to actually die. So I guess I didn't see that coming.
Oh. So when we watched it, I was dozing off and I just knew that they were two people. Like I was like... I just remember coming in now being like, oh no, her sister sounds terrible. And then being like, oh no, what's going to happen? Like, so when I went back and watched it, I was like, how did you think that these were
exactly
two different people? Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give the little girl a pass, but the dude, what was his name? Thomas. Do you not know that she wearing a wig? Cause clearly it was a wig. It wasn't even like real blonde. It was like almost white.
Yeah, it was. It looked like a synthetic wig.
Yeah. You telling me you don't know that this is the same woman?
I don't know.
Maybe unless they knew. Both met in the psychiatric facility. Girl. I don't know.
I was going to say, what if he knew? But... Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if he knew but just didn't care? Like, what if he was like, girl, where your sister at? Don't get your sister. I don't. Because he kind of was looking, like, there were some moments where he kind of was looking at her like,
yeah.
Maybe you are really need some help. I don't know. Maybe you are really need
maybe
some help.
Maybe you are really need some help.
It's because I wanted to say crazy, but then I didn't want to say it. 2020, this world has truly messed us up. Because I was like, well, I don't want to offend. I don't want to say crazy, even though I knew what I meant.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Maybe it was one of those situations. I don't know. Good one. Another solid story for the 75. They were probably like gooped, like, oh my gosh.
I know.
It's been the same person all along. So, moving right along to the piece de resistance to the chef's kiss, the icing on this trilogy of terror cake, Amelia. And for the final time, played by Karen Black. She is seen, and she looked good. So, you know, coming from the other two, I was like, look at her. This one's bound to be a better, you know, like I was like, this one, she can only go up from here. She done moved on up. She's in her high-rise apartment. She looks great. Her hair's curled. She is carrying a package. When she gets to her apartment, she unwraps the package and she reveals a menacing little doll. It's just over about a foot tall. And she's talking to the doll. The doll looks somewhat tribal. And she reveals that the doll's name is He Who Kills. We find out that it is an African hunting fetish doll.
Like those, yeah, fetish dolls are a thing. Which I thought they were supposed to help with like fertility. But I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong though. I'm just a dumb dumb.
I'm just a... dumb, dumb.
Why you got it right?
Because it was just sitting at my desk.
You should tape it on your shirt next time.
Just some dumb dumbs. I got you, if I remember. Okay, so a fetish doll. We find out that the doll's name is He Who Kills, and that it is actually an African hunting fetish doll that she bought for someone named Arthur Brooks. Oh, look. I went to school with somebody named Arthur Brooks. That's funny. I don't know why that just popped up in my head like that. Arthur Brooks, is you thinking about me?
Probably.
And you listening to the podcast? Look. Okay. Arthur.
He probably the one that wrote that review.
Shut up. I sensed them talking about dum-dums.
Stupid. Oh man.
Okay, someone named Arthur Breslau, we think is how you say his last name. It's just a character name though, so it's not that important. You don't even hear him talk, you don't ever see him, he not, it's yeah. Fine. She also, and this is where I believe the doll was like, okay, she finna fuck around and find out, because she was being mad disrespectful. She said, and I quote to this doll, she said, "You are ugly." And then she also said, she was like, "Ugh, that face." And then she also said, I wrote it down and I said, ooh, this is where she fucked up. She said, "Even a mother wouldn't love you." So that doll is sitting there in the chains, just taking this, like, this raggedy heifer. Just roasted her. You raggedy bitch. She was being mad disrespectful.
She was.
I was like, well, that's where she messed up. But okay. She then makes a phone call to her mom. Because, you know, she got to tell her, hey, mom, I got stuff I got to do today. So she has a regular meetup with her mom, right? Was that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And she needed to cancel. Okay. So she calls her mom. And you can tell her mama is extra because she kept trying to talk and her mama kept cutting her off.
Man.
And Amelia is trying to, again, explain, like, hey, I have plans. It's my friend's birthday, mom. Birthday. So I'm not trying to hang out with you today. Just one day. I'm not trying to hang out with you. Her mama ended up hanging up on her, didn't she? Because she just wasn't having it.
Yes.
I was like, dang. And she's, which causes Amelia to be so upset that when she puts the doll down. Yeah, that's the part that I forgot. Okay, so you see that the doll box has a scroll, and on the scroll, it mentions that the gold chain that's around the doll's waist, it's meant to keep the real spirit of the Zuni hunter trapped inside the doll. If the chain is removed, then the spirit is unleashed. And then Amelia's mother hangs up on her and Amelia's upset. So she slammed the doll down. She didn't slam it down that hard, though. She slammed it in TV land hard enough on her coffee table for the chain to slide off. I just said, she need her money back. She need her money back. The way that chain just slipped and slide off. If you are trapping a soul in something, you need to put a lock. It should not have been that easy for that chain to slide off.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, oh. Had I made it out alive, I'd be like, I'm suing this everybody.
Okay, so Amelia, she's like running her bath water and she calls Arthur. Did I say, see, you got me.
I didn't got you nothing.
To be funny.
I didn't
no,
got
you trying
nothing.
To be funny when you said it.
I said Arthur.
Yeah, you said it like that.
Arthur.
Trying to make fun of me. Arthur to cancel. I mean, they're going back and forth, but she's like, hey, what you want me to do? It's my mom. It's just one day. She was like, can't you celebrate your birthday tomorrow? I was like, dang.
No, I'm finna go celebrate my birthday with somebody else, with another somebody woman. Else. That's what I'm gonna do. That's crazy.
Man. So Amelia, she goes in the kitchen and she's, you know, making her steak, which I am shocked because she seasoned it.
And I was like, half-assed seasoned it.
But she put something on there.
She had the salt, the little salt. She had the table salt and pepper shakers and was like,
mean, she put it on there. I'm just shocked that she put some seasoning on there.
I'm not. Because they'll put some salt and pepper. But it literally is just hit it with a dash of salt and a dash of pepper. No, hit that thing
with some seasoning. I think that was just a acting thing. Like, she really didn't, you know. So she ended up pulling out a knife, you know, to take off the fat or whatever. But then she goes into the living room and she noticed that the doll is missing. And she's looking for it under the sofa. And she kind of like cut her hand on the little spear. And she still didn't find the doll. So she started hearing something in the kitchen. So she goes in. And I was like, the little footsteps.
That's why I was laughing. That was funny.
And then she went to the kitchen and that's when she saw that the knife she was using was missing. So she goes back into the living room and that's when the doll just out of nowhere rushed at her and was like stabbing her ankles.
Girl.
I was like, oh my God, like, what in the world? And the sound, yes, the sound. You should have heard. I wish I would have recorded our conversation because I was telling my mama I was about to watch it. And she just started making the little noises. I was like, my God.
The heck?
And so she's trying to get away. But at this point, it's just chasing her all around the apartment. And she is fighting for her life.
For her life. Fighting for her life. Her curls is slipping. She runs into the bedroom. She tries to call the police. Before she can make contact with anyone, the bedroom door swings open and the doll is back for more. He's hanging off the doorknob. And the chase continues. This doll is what? 1 foot? That's what it is. 1 foot? 1 foot.
Yep.
It's just 1 foot. So, Hal, this is one of those times where, I do get that these things have spirits of people who are stronger in them, like Chucky, and in this case, this. But I'm like, ain't no way. I'm finna let you whoop my ass. Like, I'm not about to die like this. I'm not about to die like this.
She had plenty of opportunities, in my opinion, to get out of there, but
she had some opportunities. It's just me. So the chase continues. It gets in bed with Amelia, runs in the bathroom. So Amelia runs in the bathroom and then she slams the door, thinking that it's going to stop the doll. The doll just slides, like stabbing at her feet under the door. Amelia locks the door. She thinks she's safe, but the doll somehow manages to pick the lock and the door flies open. And Amelia, this is when I thought she had it, because she throws a towel over the doll. She temporarily immobilizes it. And then she looks in the bathwater and she's like, okay, I'm going to try to drown it. So she picks it up. Submerges it in water. She's trying to drown it. And then I guess she had the realization that this is a doll. I can't drown it. So she gets up and like leaves it in the water. Or maybe she thought she was drowning it. Let me take that back. I don't know why they put that on there like that. So she attempts to drown it. And then she steps away and kind of watches it in the water. So you're thinking, okay, maybe that worked. The doll reappears and it climbs out of the tub the whole time just... The whole time it was going at her, and chases her into the living room. She tries to hide in the closet. She finds a suitcase, and when the doll comes in and attack her, she uses it to trap the doll. And we're thinking, okay, surely this is enough.
Yeah, because I was like, that's when I would have left. Or taken the suitcase and threw it somewhere.
Yeah, I think I would have held it at like a distance and then ran outside and maybe throw it. I don't know. Instead, she runs to the kitchen. She was going to try to get out. So she runs to the kitchen. She gets a screwdriver because the doll bent the deadbolt. Because I was wondering, I was like, who did that? I didn't remember seeing the doll do that. But the doll bent the deadbolt on her front door. So she's trying to get out. Before she can get it off, she sees that the doll is using that steak knife to saw his way out of the suitcase. And then she tries to grab the knife. I was like, why are you trying to grab the knife with your bare hands like that? And she gets cut. She gets cut, obviously. And before she can do anything else, the doll escapes free.
Again, she's still fighting for her life. She was able to get the knife, you know, away from the doll, but then it like jumped on her neck.
It looked like it took a chunk out of her neck. I said, oh my god. It was biting her neck.
Yeah. And then wait, you remember the part, I think it was before they got to the kitchen, where it was like on her arm and she swung it into the lamp.
Yes. And broke the lamp. Yes, I do.
I was like, man, it was intense.
It was intense.
So then she managed to get it off of her, and then she put it in the oven, and the doll is screaming and it's burning, and then the oven is filled with this black smoke and it stops screaming. So she's thinking, okay, I'm good. And she opens the oven and she gets hit with the smoke, and then she starts screaming. So then
like that.
So then Amelia goes to the phone and she calls her mom, and she didn't sound like herself.
She didn't sound even like her what mom she was had like, been are you through. Okay?
Yeah.
She definitely didn't sound like what she had just been through.
Yeah, because even her mom was like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then so she was like, well, I still want to spend the evening with you, and invited her to come up to the apartment. She hangs up the phone and she goes to the deadbolt and ripped it off with her bare hands. And then she goes into the corner and she is holding a butcher knife. And then I think this is the part that really like stuck with me, because when she crouched down and she was stabbing the floor and she was waiting on her mama to show up, and then she smiles and you see all these teeth, the same teeth that the doll had. And now we know that the spirit is now possessing Amelia.
What? So her mom twist. About to.
Yeah.
Her mom.
Her mom about to get it.
About to get it. Such a shame.
Yeah, but her face at the end, I was like, that kind of like stuck with me for a little bit.
Yeah. That's all I see is like, even in the different stories, I'd be like, she just looked like the doll to me.
Yeah,
so she looked troubled in everyone to me,
because I know, okay, there was a Trilogy of Terror 2. I watched it, but I'm trying to think,
it was the same
she
woman?
Passed away by this time, because it wasn't her. Karen Black wasn't in it.
Oh,
but I don't, because it was in the 90s,
like 96, I think.
Because the stories, again, were different, but they did bring the doll back, but it wasn't the same. But yeah, so, thoughts. So, if I were to rank the stories, it would be Amelia number one, Julie number two, because I actually did like that one, the first story, and then Millicent and Therese number three, because I was like, it wasn't bad. It was just predictable for me.
Yeah, I agree. If you're awake watching it, it definitely is not. I mean, it definitely is predictable. I would rank them the same way, because I'm almost positive that I had seen this movie before. because I did remember that creature. And for me to remember something like that from being younger, you know what I mean? Like, that means that that mm-hmm. stood out to me. And then, yeah, that ending scene, her face and her teeth, I remember being afraid of that. So that one was my number one, too. And then, I mean, the first story is probably not supposed to be funny, but to me, it's funny because I'm like, that's what you get, you pervert. You thought.
Yeah.
You thought. But, and then, yeah, the second story for me kind of feels like a filler. Like, I've heard that before. Like, they say when shows do seasons, or like when people do like trilogies like that, that they throw the least favorite, their least favorite in the middle as kind of like a filler mm-hmm. thing. I just take up space. And that's kind of how that one feels. Like, just like, oh,
yeah,
we can put this in here. What?
Yeah, that's because I didn't think about it like that, but that's. That makes sense. I'm trying to think of what I would rate it. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can, since you said it.
I'm going to go with a 3. It would be higher if the second story was better, but I'm going to go with a 3. Just going by it being the 70s, it being mm-hmm. made for TV, and just because Karen Black is like a legend.
Man,
I mean, she did a good job with that.
I was gonna say performance alone.
Yeah,
each character was distinct. Like, each character had their own distinct personality traits.
Yeah,
their voices. Like, she did do a good job. Wait, so what you said, a 3, right?
A 3. Yeah,
I'm thinking rewatchability is high, her performance is high. The quality and the cinematography is straight for 75. I don't know that I want to give it a 3, but then I kind of want to give it a 3. But then I don't want to give it a 3. I'll give it a 3. I'll give it a 3 because...
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Because it is a trilogy, and for those stories to be as impactful as they are in such short amount of time, I think that's saying a lot. And I didn't have a problem with the actors or the acting. She gets mad props for playing. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. And rewatchability, like, I can. Like, I think I watched it 3 times in the past week, like, all the way through. So, like, I can watch it anytime it comes on.
And I watched it twice.
And it wasn't like, it didn't feel like, ugh, I gotta watch this again. It's like, ooh, okay.
I know. It didn't give I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, cause I was like, damn, I gotta watch this one more time. Because I don't. I'm gonna have to watch it one more time. But okay, let's see how we fared. Okay, so IMDb gives it a 6.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomato gives that thing 92%. They did Letterboxd again. They got a 3.1 out of 5. And do we have a Google? Oh, 87% of Google users like this movie. So it does good in the ratings. Anything else before we part ways?
I think that's it. Everybody go watch Trilogy of Terror if you haven't seen it already.
I thought I was about to say, everybody was kung fu fighting. I don't know.
It has nothing to do with nothing.
Nothing to do with nothing. But yes, I agree. I second that call to action. Give it a watch. Give it a watcheroo. And if you are a cannabis enthusiast, it makes the movies just a little bit better. You know? All right. That is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
If you have any movies or documentaries of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms mentioned. Even if you just want to say what's up, what it do, what it is, how's it going, we will be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
And then for this episode, you should make the noise that the doll was making. So you can...
What was it?
It was a lot.
Wait, I just remember being like, what happened to him? Is he mad about slavery? He was an African. What is wrong with him? He was out for vengeance. Man. Why is this man? Hold on, I'm gonna find the hold on, just for reference. Way when it runs, because it'd be like, ah, 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 ah.
I know.
And then was that it trying to talk? Like, was that it supposed to, like, it sounds like what it
sounds
like.
Sounds like the little boy from Wild Thornberries.
It does. I was like, Lord, he is,
man,
that's funny. But thank you as always for keeping it extra creepy, spooky, strange in this bonus episode with us. It's because I was about to mess it up.
Thank you. I know.
Bye.